It's time for the Coach Groves Show, where we sit down with the head coach of the Darlington Tigers football team and talk about all things Darlington School football. Now we go live to Matt Davis and Ian Griffin, who are standing by with Coach Wayne Groves.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coach Groves Show, where we talk all things Darlington football with the head Tiger himself, Wayne Groves. The Tigers are 2-0 in region play, and we've got tons to discuss when it comes to last week's game. Coach, we're glad to have you with us tonight, as always.
Yeah, glad to be here. Always a pleasure to be on the Coach Groves Show. It kind of makes the show flow.
I'm also the cameraman, so I'm sorry I got up right as we start the show, but I noticed that Ian was out of the frame. That was going to be a little bit awkward, so sorry about that.
It is October, so I was just playing the ghost version of myself there.
All right, so we'll just go ahead and jump into our questions. The first thing is 2-0 in region play, the second region game of the year. Successful road trip. You guys went over to Branch Sprague Field at Coosa. You guys were up 28-0 by half, won the game 49-7, Coach. And after a couple of back-and-forth games with Northwest and then Dade County, how great did it feel to have such a fast start and then put on the gas and then just put this thing out of reach early in the game?
Well, it's what I expected with our kids. You know, each week we want to keep improving. And if you've watched us play, we definitely have kept improving each week. It's not perfect yet. It's not exactly where we want it. I think we still have some points on the board and definitely some defensive stuff that we can clean up to keep some more points off the board. But, you know, overall, we played really well. Fast start. You know, we hit them with all three phases like we've been talking about, offense, defense, and special teams. And it was a good win on Friday.
So, Coach, you mentioned it was a different kind of game. And in the last few weeks, you've talked to us about how you've got your guys dialed in on this next play mentality. When it's not back and forth like that, what are the challenges of keeping your kids focused when the game gets out of hand early like that?
Well, I tell them we're just going to keep coming after them until I tell them it's not time to come after them anymore. And so, you know, next play, we're going to step on the gas, all gas, no break. Let's just keep playing as hard as we can. And then when it's the backup's time to get in there, we'll get those guys in there.
I just want to take a moment here for an observation and a thank you to Coach Groves, because one of the things Ian and I have talked about recently is the fact that the walls here in the video studio, a little bare. They need a little bit more activity, that sort of thing, to kind of – I don't know, make it a little bit more interesting looking. And then Coach Groves comes in today, and as you can see there, when we flip to his camera, we've got an addition to the studio. So thank you so much for that, Coach. That's nice.
Yeah, that's the black shirt.
Does that stay here, or is that going back with you?
I don't know. Maybe stay now. I don't
know. It looks good. It looks good in the shot.
Well, Coach, the Honeymoon Bakery icing on the cake player of the game last week was Demarion Floyd. And talk about a young man that had a big game. Ian, we had him with over 170 yards, 8 carries, 3 touchdowns. A couple of them were big long runs.
Yeah. I think he had over 200 total yards offense because he had a long catch as well. So another great game for Demarion. And, you know, we've talked about him before and what he brings to the team, so we wanted to flip it around. If you were scouting the Tigers and you see Demarion, what are you thinking about how you have to adjust to handle a player like him?
Well, you definitely would have to leave, you know, enough in the box where he's going to have problems. But the problem is, you know, you load the box, and now you got to deal with Talon and Aiden Davis and some of those guys outside. And so, you know, it wouldn't be an easy task.
And Harrison East had 4 tackles for loss against y'all in the first quarter. He was playing lights out, and Demarion started with -9 yards. He still ends up with over 170. So talk about the adjustments you made, because they were really coming after him early in the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, we knew they were going to blitz him, and you know, sometimes when the lights come on, you know, the kids mess up, you know, so we got to get over the sideline and clean some of those things up. And the line did an excellent job for the remainder of the game and was able to get Demarion some big runs and some opportunities in space.
Well, I do want to send a shout out here. We just had a comment from one of our viewers on our Facebook live feed. We do monitor the comments on our Facebook feed. We turn them off on the YouTube because, as we pointed out before, and we're still not sophisticated enough to monitor them on two platforms at the same time. But Lou Essex chimed in, and he's watching all the way from Austin, Texas to the show today and learning about Darlington Tigers football. So, hey, Lou, we appreciate you being out there. That's pretty neat. Well, one of the things that I hear people talk about a lot is the destiny being in the details. And one of the things that we saw last week, Coach, Ade DeSalis was 6 for 6 on extra points. Then Obi Oha came in and got the last one for you. So how big is it to see those guys come in and the rest of the team in that aspect executing at that level in those situations? Because those things can be big difference makers, particularly in a close game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we kick PATs and field goals every single day. Every time we practice, we're working that special team just because we don't want to leave points off the board. So we're working on the steps and fundamentals up front with our alignment and our wings, and then we're working on that snap and that good timing and getting the ball on the tee and getting it up through the goalpost. I mean, it's not just easy. And a lot of folks think it's like a video game, and that's kind of automatic, but it takes a lot of work to get that right, especially at the high school level. So,
and I know you work on simulating that in practice, but you even got a couple of field goal attempts late that didn't go through the uprights. You have plenty of leg, even on the long one, it looked like. Mm-hmm. But talk about how that helps build a young player like that, even though he didn't make those, to get out there and take those swings.
Yeah, I mean, you're just not going to get those type of those reps with that kind of pressure for those kickers, you know, at practice. You can try to simulate that and yell at them and you know, try to get in their head a little bit, but nothing's like that Friday night rep. So I thought that was important. We got in those situations where we had some young guys in the ball game, and we necessarily wouldn't want to try to score another touchdown, but, you know, we wanted to get them some opportunities right there. So, you know, he wasn't successful, but I think that moment may open up, you know, his confidence so he does make the next ones later on down the road.
And, Coach, you know, even though you guys won the game 49-7, you guys can already touch on this a little bit, but coaches are experts at finding the stuff on film that needs a little bit of adjustment, some fine-tuning, that sort of thing. So when you watched the film from last week's game, what were some of the things that stood out to you, you know, that are still kind of a work in progress that you want to see, you know, a bit better moving forward?
Well, some of the blitzes that we didn't pick up early in the first quarter, where they, you know, they hit us on some negative plays, some of that, just some technique things up front, you know, hand placement, you know, making sure we're striking and staying low and flat backed up front, you know, playing our appropriate technique, linebacker reads, and then DBI discipline. You know, we're constantly on those things. And then we want to stay away from penalties. You know, it's been a huge emphasis on, you know, kickoff return and punt return. If you hold on those penalties, those are killers. I mean, some of those become 50 and 60 yard penalties because it's a spot foul. And if you run the thing all the way back, which we have a couple of times, I mean, that thing's coming back 70 yards. And that's just we consider that the first play of our offensive series. So we want to make that thing good. So that's been a point of emphasis. You know, I tell them, we got a fast guy in space with the ball. The other team's got the problem. You don't have to hold. Just get in the way, and then once you feel like you're holding, let him go.
And we saw some guys pull up. I pointed out Miles Twyman held up, and I mean, you know, it's when you're going full speed, sometimes it's hard not to finish the block. You just want to level the guy, I'm sure. But we saw guys do a good job of avoiding getting those penalties. I know you had one called back last week. But you also got a lot of young guys on the field. You got a few players back last week. Well, talk to us about McKay Rush being back. I know Jack Chandler, this was the second week in a row he's played. But what did it mean to have those guys back on the field?
Well, just McKay's intensity and what he brings to the team as far as leadership goes. I mean, he's gonna hold those guys accountable, and he's going to play as hard as he can ever play, and he expects the guy beside him to, too. And so – just having the kind of that spark of energy out there is huge. And then he's flying around making plays. I mean, he had a lot of production. I think 5 tackles and 2 assists, 7 tackles total. And so, and some of those are from, you know, him being on one side of the field and pursuing all the way over across the field and making plays because he's just an effort guy. And so the more we get of that on defense, the better we're going to be.
And on the flip side of that, you got some players back, but you also lost the quarterback of your defense for at least a little while, and we noticed Sam Wooten went out there, got hurt on that huge fourth down play a few weeks ago. So talk about who had to step up and fill those shoes and how they performed.
Well, I was really pleased. We moved Noah Duggan from the Sam linebacker position to the Mike, and that's new to him, even though he's been working some inside-the-box wheel linebacker stuff. And then we moved Trenton Moore, who's been, you know, rolling in, but hadn't been a full-time starter, to Sam linebacker. And so, you know, both of them played really solid, not perfect, but really solid. And both of them made a lot of production, made a lot of plays. They both had a lot of tackles.
Coach, our next part of this segment is going to be to talk about the Black Shirt Awards, which now we get our first look at it in person. It is here in the studio. So let's go ahead and jump into that. I know you have them for offense, defense, special team, scout team, things of that sort. So if you will, tell us about the Black Shirt players from this week.
All right, this week on offense, you know, he caught, you know, it's not always the guy that gets his name in the paper, but he blocked really well. He ran great routes, and he ended up catching a touchdown pass during the ball game. So the Black Shirt went to Aiden Davis, senior wide receiver, number 13. On defense, I just, you know, the kid moving from Sam linebacker to Mike and being able to, you know, take charge of the defense and make all the calls. You know, we didn't miss a line one time when the ones were in there. So Noah was a huge part of that, and then he ended up having about 10 tackles as well. So Noah Duggan got the Black Shirt on defense. Special teams, Talon, even though he had some great returns and we had some great blocks on those returns, some of those he's making two or three guys miss. And so, you know, Talon again, you know, he's basically got a permanent Black Shirt. He just keeps on balling out every week. So Talon on scout offense, junior lineman Stephen Moore, who's had a great week of practice this week. Stephen is really getting better. And so I'm sure he's going to have a good game on Friday. I wouldn't be surprised. So he's going to get a little more playing time there. But Stephen Moore got the scout last week. So that just shows guys, if you show out, you know, on the simulation team one week, that can get you some more playing time the next week. And so he's kind of earned that, and he'll get a little more opportunity. And then on scout D, we got a freshman linebacker running back, Cam Skenesny. Cam has done a great job on that simulation team. He's playing great linebacker, and he's running the ball too. And so Cam earned him a Black Shirt this week.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, you got some young players in the game. Are there guys who are you know, obviously they have to do that in practice, but are there some of the younger guys who we will see get more reps as the season goes on?
Well, you never know how it'll unfold. You know, I've been pleased with, you know, linebacker, outside linebacker and wide receiver Bodie Powers, who's a freshman. You know, Bodie has done really well in the JV ball games and been really productive when we've put him in on Friday nights, especially on special teams. Stuart Grigsby is another outside linebacker who may could end up playing safety one day, but Stuart's on kickoff and punt team, and he's been making a lot of plays and getting in there. So, you know, we got guys that are right on the cusp of being ready to play and play a lot more. We just hope they just keep developing.
And, Coach, you know, we talked about being 2-0 in region, and obviously that's a real crucial situation to be able to start region play that way. So, you know, what does it mean to be 2-0 at this point of the season in terms of your region play, in terms of, you know, whatever kind of playoff implications of things of that nature?
Well, I talked to the boys about, you know, you want to control your own destiny. And so as long as you win and as long as you, you know, keep eliminating an opponent, as we will, and, you know, so each week you beat somebody, you know, you got the advantage on them in the region standings. So we want to eliminate opponent each week. We want to control our own destiny. We don't want to get in some of that, you know, tiebreaker stuff and all that. So as long as we keep winning, we handle our business, let's just do it one week at a time, prepare for each opponent like it's the state championship game, and then you won't be wrong. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Well, this is the Coach Grove Show on the WLAQ YouTube channel and also Facebook Live feed. We're glad to have you with us. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, it's the Getting to Know Coach segment. We've got a fun one for today, so we're going to get into that in just a couple of moments. But we appreciate you being with us today, and we will return.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
All right, we're back on the Coach Grove Show, and Ian, you came up with the question for today, so let's have the Coach Grove's Getting to Know Coach segment of the week, man.
Well, Coach, we've talked movies, pop culture, sports. What are your hobbies outside of sports, man? What else do you do to find enjoyment in life?
Well, you know, I generally carry a lot of stress, and this time of the year I put a lot of stress on myself. And so one of the important things for me is, you know, at least 3 to 4 days a week, I'm in the gym in the morning at 6:30, and I'm lifting weights and I'm exercising. You know, I have a good workout routine and regimen that, that I've stuck with for years. I've been pretty solid for a while now. And so as long as my body allows me to do that and you can keep moving, I think it's best. Your body's meant to move. And so, you know, I want to stay in good shape so I can go out there and coach, you know, and perform at my best out there for the kids. And so, you know, I really enjoy working out. You know, that's kind of my peace time. I put my headphones in. I go in there. I work out by myself and knock that out. So I do that. And then, you know, of course, you know, my wife, Jess, and my little girl, Grayson, are three. And so, you know, they're just my world and my everything. And so when I get to go home and spend time with them and I get to take that coach's hat off and be daddy, that's really fun for me. So, you know, I try to spend as much time with them as I can. You know, when we're hitting that part of the season, you know, as coaches, we've worked 56 out of the last 57 days without a day off. And that's, I think we've worked 40, someone said the other day, we worked 45 days in a row without a day off. And that's being at the school at 7 a.m. or earlier. So when we get off time, you know, I'm going to be with my family and just enjoy being with them.
Well, what are some, I know there's a big event this week for you and family time, but what are some of the things that your daughter is interested in? Three's a great age, and I know the fair's coming, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're definitely going to hit the fair up. We're going to go tomorrow night. You know, we have an off Thursday evening, so we're going to practice tomorrow morning, do our, what we've been doing is our 5:45 a.m. practice on Thursday, so we're going to have some family time, go to the fair and enjoy that. And so that'll be really fun to watch her ride the rides. That's heaven for me to see her smile and ride those rides.
Yeah, absolutely. She got any favorite books that you read her, or what's she into?
We read all kinds of stuff. You know, yeah. She likes, you know, Sesame Street stuff. You know, she's into Bluey now, which is pretty good. I find myself watching that with her, nice. Her too. You know, she's Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and all that. So, dude, I'm well-versed on all the kid shows.
Right. That'll continue and evolve for you, I'm sure, as the years go on.
So since we've referenced that you're heading to the Coosa Valley Fair this week, which I think is like in its 74th year or something like that, such a tradition here in this area, what are some of the fair foods that that are a go-to for you?
Well,
or do you have any?
No. We're definitely one. We're going lemonade if you're going to the fair. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'm gonna plug that lemonade. That's pretty nice. Someone asked me the other day, is it better than Chick-fil-A? And I said, yeah, it's better than Chick-fil-A.
Oh, man.
So okay. I'll throw that out there. The fair lemonade is pretty nice. And so I always like a corn dog mustard, no ketchup. You go ketchup on a corn dog, something's wrong with you. So go mustard on the corn dog, and then we're going to do funnel cakes for sure. And then, you know, I'm sure Jess likes candy apples. And so, okay.
Yeah, that's what my, son, sure we'll find, what my son's after.
I'm sure we'll find apple. Something else to get into as well.
See, this is all full circle, because that's just going to make you have to get in the gym even earlier on Friday, right, to work off the funnel cake.
That's right. We'll have to do that.
What's your go-to, man?
Oh, my go-to at the fair? Fried something, you know. I mean, so they're going to – I'm always interested to see what concoctions they'll come up with. So
I kind of like the candy apples, the ones with the caramel on them, but at the same time, it feels like you're going to rip your teeth out of your skull when you're having those, so I got to be pretty careful if I go for that. But
right. But I go for my kids. It's just fun to watch them ride the rides, man. It lights them up.
Oh, yeah, and that's a time in your life that just seems to fly by. You know, you blink your eyes, and next thing you know, they're driving.
I know. I have one at the fair tonight. He's out there. He drove himself there. So, yeah, that's an adjustment big time.
Mine's almost that age now, which just blows my mind. So soak it in as much as you can, man, because it moves fast. I know people tell you that. But until you have kids of your own, it's kind of hard to have perspective on that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this has been a fun segment. Anything else as we get ready to take our next break?
Anything else you do to pass the time, Coach? Places you like to travel?
You know, my wife, I think she'd kill me if I didn't take her to the beach during the summer, during the dead weeks. And so we really enjoy the beach and just be able to sit there and relax and watch Grayson play and just kick your feet up. And we enjoy the beach.
Now, are you one of those dads that gets up early, goes and stakes claim on your space, sets up your tent, rolls the wagon down? Is that your role?
You know, if I had it my way, I'd probably sleep in another 45 minutes. But let me tell you, Grayson and Jess, they're tapping on my shoulder. It's time to get up and get rolling. So when they say that, I get up and go.
Staking your claim. It's important.
That's, yeah, we always have a waterfront spot, you know, right down there, right where you'd want to be.
Prime real estate on the beach. Can't beat it. Well, that's going to put a wrap on this segment, our Getting to Know Coach segment of the week. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the Chattooga Indians, which I know that's what your focus has been all week long, getting ready for this team and another region opportunity coming up at Chris Hunter Stadium. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about Alumni Weekend a little bit because that's this weekend, big deal. So we'll definitely touch on that when we come back. But this is the Coach Grove Show. We're glad to have you with us, whether you're watching on our Facebook Live or YouTube, and we'll be back in just moments.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
All right, we welcome you back into the Coach Grove Show. In this segment, we're primarily going to talk about the upcoming opponent here coming up this Friday, Chattooga coming to town to play at Chris Hunter Stadium. But before we jump into that, Coach, let's talk a little bit about Alumni Weekend and what that means. And really what I'm getting at is from a football perspective, I know there'll be a lot of former players that'll probably come to the game. There typically would be. So what sort of potential impact do you think seeing those guys come back to campus can have on your team? Is that something that you guys talk about?
Well, each Monday, you know, we go over the week. First thing we have is a team meeting, and we go over the weekly plan. You know, we go over weekly motivation. And so, you know, obviously we want to bring attention that it is Alumni Weekend, and you're going to have – you know, at Darlington, that's bigger than homecoming is my understanding, is what I'm told. More people come back for Alumni Weekend. And so you're going to have opportunities there to show off your skills. You're going to have opportunities there to show what the Darlington Tigers are made of. And you're going to have state champions in the stands. And so that's pretty special. And you're going to, you know, have 80 years of football that's been played that could possibly be represented there. So, you know, that's huge. You know, you want that community. You want that. You know, that's what's special about Darlington is the community. And so you're going to have huge fan, you know, packed in there, you know, ready to go, being loud. And so I hope our players feed off that. And so that was my motivation of making sure they knew to be ready.
And you've got two home games. I can't believe that's where we are in the season, but this is the last of two home. You'll finish up with homecoming, I guess. Is that next? You know, Alumni Weekend and then homecoming?
Yeah, and so, you know, tomorrow night is senior night. We're doing senior night tomorrow night. And so, you know, that adds another dynamic to it as well. And another element of motivation, you know, to play well for these seniors that have been playing for 4 years at Darlington and all that.
And, Coach, as far as getting prepared for this game, what has the atmosphere been like at practice this week?
The kids practice really well. I've been pleased. You know, it hasn't been perfect, but we got to be perfect tomorrow morning. That's what I told them. So, you know, we still had a couple of missed assignments today. You know, missed checks in the game plan. So tomorrow morning I tell them we're gonna put the hay in the barn tomorrow, and then we get to reap the benefit of what we've prepared for on Friday. And so we should be ready.
Well, let's talk about the Chattooga Indians a little bit. Last week they played on Murchie, jumped on them early. They had a 20-14 lead, I believe, at halftime. It was back and forth a lot of that game. On Murchie ended up kind of surviving that game. 27-20 was the final score. But Chattooga showed a lot of grit and competitiveness throughout the game. So what stands out on film when you have a look at this Chattooga Indians team, Coach?
Well, Chattooga actually had an opportunity to win the game at the end. They were on the 1 yard line, you know, and had a chance to win the game. And Armurchie brought a blitz. They ran an inside zone run, and Armurchie hit them in the backfield for a 1 yard loss. And so they were 1 yard away from winning. So what I see about Chattooga, one, they're well coached. You know, they have a good coaching staff up there. I think there's three or four guys on staff that are former head coaches at different places in Georgia and Tennessee. So, you know, very physical up front, very similar to Dade County. You know, two big tackles, the Luke Reese, sophomore, left tackle, 6'2", 270, right tackle, Ty Hall, senior, 6'3", 230. So that aspect, and they got a few more athletes, a little more speed on offense than Dade. And so that you know, poses a problem if you miss a tackle or miss a line and get someone open in space. So it's going to be a challenge.
And what kind of offense does Chattooga bring to the table?
All right, so you're going to see some 2x2 Shotgun formations, 3-by-1 trips. You're going to see some tight end sniffer formations, and they'll move that sniffer around. You'll see some empty formations, and you'll see some bunched and condensed formations. So they're doing all the formations, you know, basically in the spread offensive world. And so, you know, top runs, you're going to see them run inside zone. They're going to run 2-back counter. They're going to run some tall sweeps and jet sweeps. And then you'll get some, you know, 2-back power and ISOs. You know, pass-wise, you know, they like to – you know, get you in trips or twins and a single receiver, try to get you single covered so they can, you know, get their athletes the ball on some vertical routes. And so they're going to run some bootlegs and sprint out stuff to kind of take advantage of, you know, their speed. And so, you know, it's just stuff that we've worked and, you know, we should have a good plan for, and we just got to get out there and execute.
Now, when you flip it over to the other side of the ball, talk to us about what challenges Chattooga presents on defense.
All right, so they're an even and an odd front, so they play a little 4-man front, sometimes 4-3, 4-2, and then they'll get in an odd front, a 3-4, and they'll kind of slant and blitz and move. You'll see them in cover 3 a lot, cover 1, and they'll even play some cover 4 in that odd front. So, you know, we've practiced all those things, so you got to get the kids prepared for what they're going to see, and so we feel like we've got a good plan. You know, they've got some good players out there. You know, you're going to see the running back. His name's Zayden Cook. He's a junior, 5'11", 180. He's their running back. He's also their Mike linebacker. He's very active, you know, very, very fast guy. You'll see a receiver, number 0, Dan Meyer, 5'11", 160, junior. You'll see another wide receiver, number 15, Brock Cooper, 6'2", 165. And they got a really good nose, D-tackle, number 63, Rocco Coppola. That's a pretty good football name. 5'10", 215. He's a junior, and he's a hard nosed, tough player. And you know, we'll have our work cut out for us handling him.
I wonder if they call him the Godfather on the practice.
Well, we're glad to have you with us on this episode of the Coach Grove Show. And we say it every week, man. The season is just clipping by, just at a rate that's unbelievable. Get ready for the game this weekend. You guys are 4-2, 2-0 in region play. This is game 7 of the regular season, a region game. I know you guys are fired up about it. It's alumni weekend. It's going to be a great atmosphere, as you've pointed out. So with that said, I think we're kind of starting to run out of time. 30 minutes goes by in a hurry, doesn't it, Coach?
It sure does.
But any final comments that you have for us as we get ready to wind down?
No, I just think it's going to be a great, great weekend. I mean, you know, the boys are going to be ready to play. You know, they know what's at stake here. You know, we have a lot of great opportunities. So, you know, we want to put on a good show for the fans, obviously, and for all the alumni, and represent Darlington the right way with class and play as hard as we can for them. So, we're going to be ready to do that.
Well, Coach, we want to take this opportunity to wish you and the Tigers the best of luck this weekend. We'll be there, fired up about being at the game. And like, you know, we always say, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. And I do want to let everybody know that we hope and encourage you to go to the game, because there's just nothing like being there in person. And obviously, as we talked about a lot on the show, players and the coaches, everybody feeds off the energy. One of the comments I heard one of the parents make on our scoreboard show after the game the other day was talking about Coach Groves and his energy that he brings to the game and how fired up you get and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that's awesome, man. We love seeing that and the enthusiasm that you and the guys bring to what you do. That's a lot of fun. Yeah. Anything else for you, Ian?
Hey, we'll be dying to know what you eat at the fair tomorrow night, and want to hear all about the good times had there, and look forward to watching the Tigers on Friday night.
Right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all. All right, well, Tigers host Chattooga Friday at Chris Hunter Stadium. Be there, and if you can't, we'll have you covered on WLAQ, and Darlington will have the live stream produced by Northwest Georgia Media. With that, we'll bid you adieu and say goodbye, but go Tigers, and hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll talk to you coming up on Friday. That's going to put a wrap on this edition of the Coach Grove Show. We appreciate you tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the Coach Groves Show. We invite you to join us again next week as we discuss all things Darlington football with head coach Wayne Groves. Go Tigers!